Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. And we pray that each of us might feel a sense of your spirit touched by your grace from something that we've just heard. And we pray that you will help us to know that you have spoken to us and it is your truth for us. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. As I begin, I first want to say thank you to Barbara for holding forth over the past several weeks. And I'm very grateful. And I am also very grateful that we can continue our time to worship together and that we're doing it more than just in the summer now. And I hope that will continue. Life is so full of choices. Sometimes we choose wisely. Sometimes not so wisely. Like the little brother, whose older brother talked him into letting him crack some eggs on his head. The two of them were getting ready to boil eggs so that they could color them for Easter. And the older brother said to the younger one, "If you let me break three eggs on your head, I'll give you $1. The little brother's eyes just got big. "A whole dollar? Yeah, I'll give you $1. "Really? Yep. If you let me break three eggs on your head. Promise? I promise." Okay. So the younger brother closed his eyes and he stood there expectantly waiting for this. And as his older brother giggled, he cracked open the first egg on his head. And as the yolk was beginning to run down the side of his face, he said, he just kind of giggled. And the older brother said, "That's one." And then he cracked the second egg on his head. And it began to roll down the side of his face. And the younger brother said, "Oh, this is so cool." And he braced himself for the third egg and his eyes were closed. And he waited 10 seconds and he said, "Come on, I'm ready for the third egg." And the old brother then said, "Are you kidding? I'd have to pay you $1 then." We've all experienced broken promises, both as the instigator and as the recipient of the broken promise. And today I want to look at the idea of broken covenants in light of what we've heard in Hosea and Luke. And I want to begin with Hosea. The first three chapters with Hosea seem to be autobiographical. But I think there's two ways that we can understand this material that comes to us from the book of Hosea, which we don't hear very much of in the lectionary. We can understand this autobiographical material as exactly as it's written and seems to say that God said to Hosea, "Take this woman, Gomer, and she's going to have children and all of that stuff." Read it exactly like it's written. Or we can understand that Hosea has these life experiences where he took a woman to be his wife and then some things happened and they weren't supposed to happen. And as he contemplated these incidences, he realized that there was a connection between what he was experiencing in his personal life and what God might be experiencing with the people of Israel. Either way, though, the message is the same. If we take a closer look, we get the sense that Jezreel was not the son of Hosea. That quite possibly Jezreel was from a prior relationship that Gomer had had. Is Gomer a prostitute? Well, even though the thing says, scholars say, we can't really be sure. And if Hosea was a prophet of Israel, would he have knowingly taken a prostitute to be his wife? I mean, that kind of has a way of taking away from that sense of holiness about you. How well you can be a prophet. So they were united in the covenant of marriage.
But then two other children come along, and once again they did not seem to be the children of Hosea. And he names him, not pitied, and I am not yours. Now, the naming of these children, we begin to get a sense of the anger of Hosea, the depths of the anger, as he realizes that Gomer has not been faithful to the marriage covenant. And we also have to note that this is not about just breaking moral covenants, but it's also about breaking political covenants and all covenants. A commentator wrote on this passage in terms of the naming of Jezreel, the city of Jezreel had been a scene of much violence. The murder of Naboth by King Ahab for his vineyard. The killing of Ahab's wife Jezebel and his sons and the Canaanite devotees. It had become a byword for violence and torture. Hardly a happy name to give a child. Judgment is coming. Coming on the nation of Israel for the bloodbath that King Jehu of Israel had instigated when he slaughtered those who worshipped Baal. Gomer is then cast out by Hosea. Only just as she's about ready to be sold into slavery, he forgives her and takes her back in. And through all of this, Hosea sees his relationship with his wife as a microcosm of the relationship between God and Israel. In all areas of life, not just religious, but political, all areas, the people had strayed from God's path. Broken promises, broken covenants are extremely painful. When we are the instigators of the broken covenant, and if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we have done that sometimes. We either feel shameful when we realize, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Or we feel righteously proud. I can break it because I know better, and that shouldn't have been a covenant that we had. And both are not good things for a person to feel. Both separate us from others, build walls between us and other people. On the other hand, when we are the recipients of broken covenants, we feel a great sense of betrayal and anger. This past 3 weeks, twice I had to drive up to Buffalo from Chautauqua. It's about an hour and a half drive. And through a fairly sizable portion of I-90 that we have to travel between where I was and to Buffalo, we passed through lands owned by the Seneca Nation of Native Americans. And you see signs along the way, honor the treaties. In a recent, 3 years ago now, editorial by the Seneca Nation newspaper, these thoughts are shared. In 1784, the Six Nations and the United States government signed the Fort Stanwix Treaty. The first treaty recognizing the sovereignty of each nation, each Indian nation. And then in 1842, the Seneca Nation, the United States government, the state of New York, and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts signed the Buffalo Creek Compromise Treaty, which prohibits the taxation of business activities on Indian reservations. The treaties were the documents of transaction, whereby millions of acres were relinquished to the state and federal government in return for guarantees stated therein. Acknowledgement of territorial boundaries and recognition of pre-existing sovereign rights. Now, if you read the Constitution of the United States, it says, calls its treaties the supreme law of the land. Yet the state of New York has been working really hard to violate those sacred documents it signed with the Seneca Nation over 200 years ago. Ever since 2007, they've been trying to get taxed income from the nation. It's no secret that Albany has been struggling, as every state has been, with budget deficits. It knows it can't go to Canada and get more money. So it's trying to force, as the article says, it's trying to force us, the Seneca Nation, to be part of one. It's irresponsible and it's illegal. Today's New York State wants to tax petroleum and tobacco products sold on our lands. What will it be tomorrow? When you break a treaty, you break the law. Do not let lawmakers become lawbreakers. Join us as we fight this unconstitutional infringement on our sovereignty. It is your fight as much as it is our fight. We hear in that, and if you read things online about this problem, and it's been going on since 2007, and I don't think it's fully settled yet. Some parts of it have been settled, but not fully. We can hear, though, the pain and the anger of the Seneca Nation. We feel the pain and anger in Hosea as he names his wife's children. You're not mine. You're most pitied. And we can understand then the pain of God as God's beloved children take off on their own destructive paths and break the covenant God has established in the life and the death of Jesus. It is that kind of pain that caused Jesus to exclaim over Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, if you only knew the things that make for peace." But in his ruminations, Hosea finds another, more excellent way. He finds forgiveness for Gomer. And in that, he sees forgiveness for Israel. Relationships can and will be reestablished. Now, some would say this is doormat talk. When you do that kind of thing, you're just throwing yourself in front of people and letting them step all over you. But it's not. It's a recognition that there is nothing more important than relationships. And we cannot let human sin, our own and others, get in the way of them. For many years, when a person in need of food and money came to my door or the door of the church, I used to tie myself into knots, trying to find out if their need was legitimate. Because of that, I found that I resented their intrusion into my life at that moment. However, I realized over time that that doesn't build relationships. And it certainly does not feed them emotionally or spiritually. Now I try to help them any way I can. Of course, all of this is predicated on the most important relationship, the one that we have with God. Jesus talk about prayer is not so much as storming the gates of heaven and asking for whatever we want so that we'll get it. This is about asking God for the power of the Spirit to give us the mind, the presence of God that we need at that moment. This is about using our relationship with God to help us and others through us. So when we are feeling the pain of broken covenants and relationships, when we're feeling more like Hosea than Jesus, we need to remember the words of our last hymn today. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So I ask you, and I do not ask this lightly, because as some of you know, I've had to deal with this in my own life just recently in relationship with my brother. Is there a relationship that is strained or broken in your life? Talk to God about it. Pray to God about it. Ask God for the strength and wisdom to restore the relationship. Life is too short to carry around that anger. The shame of broken promises is not worth it. I urge you to do the same work of healing broken relationships in your life. Amen.